So this week we decided not to start with a comedic intro. If you've listened to the podcast now for at least the last couple of weeks, you probably hear something pretty scripted, something pretty lighthearted. Sometimes we're picking on players. This just didn't feel like the week to do this. Obviously, any fan of football, and we are all diehard fans of football, if you tuned into that Monday night game, you obviously would have been shocked to see what happened on the field. To see a player, and in this case, Damar Hamlin, collapse in such a way, even for the most casual fan, it would have been incredibly shocking to see live. And I can only imagine what the players would have felt on that field. I think we all saw it in footage. We heard Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, not really know how to respond to it. We saw guys like Booger McFarlane, who, to be frank, if I can be a little bit tongue-in-cheek, Booger doesn't really have much to say that's that profound anyway, but in this case, I think he did, and he was quite emotional. People like Adam Schefter and Susie Kolber, who report on the game, not really knowing how to approach this type of topic. And of course, we saw heroes on the field, and by that, you know, the EMTs were able to take care of a player who had suffered something that we haven't seen since 1971, which was a heart attack on the field. And so it didn't feel right starting today's podcast with a little bit of humor. Obviously, you know, we have delayed this podcast a number of days just to see what the result would be. Because, you know, out there, if you're listening, you're just like us. You're fans sitting in the seat. You may not know what to make of this. We certainly don't know what to make of this, but we certainly wanted to have the forum to have a conversation about it. Now, I do have good news to lead into this podcast. If you weren't aware already, it seems as though Damar is on the mend. And that's really, really important because there was, I think his uncle was talking about the fact that he had to be revived twice, his heart stopped twice, and this type of stuff. And it's really amazing to hear that he's now awake. He's not communicating with his voice, but he's communicating through writing. In fact, the first question he asked, I think, was along the lines of, who won the game or did we win the game? Which is absolutely amazing. And that just goes to show you how lucky he really is, and obviously how amazing the NFL's plan to deal with this type of scenario really was. Now, I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we're not quite happy with when it comes to the NFL and how they how they sorted this out, including the fact that, you know, they're, well, I don't know where Joe Buck would have gotten this 5 minutes thing from, if not from the NFL, just for the NFL to retract that 2 days, 3 days later seems a little bit fishy for an organization that certainly wanted this game to play, in my opinion. We're going to talk about all of this. We're going to unpack it, but I just want to make this note. We are like you listening at home. We don't really know what to make of it. There's a lot of speculation, and we're all just super happy that Damar has come out this other end in what looks to be like the best case scenario for someone whose heart stopped twice. And I don't think I can exacerbate that any more than what it is. Like, his heart stopped twice, and here he is to potentially tell the tale. So I'm going to throw it out to you fellas, but obviously this is something unlike we've ever seen before, and hopefully we'll never see again in a game of professional sport.
It was a good way to start the podcast, John. I'll just add to what you said. So after Damar was writing down who won the game, the doctors replied to him saying, Damar, you won. You won the game of life. Because he was talking to reporters, the doctor, and said this is a 1 in 250 million survival rate, having two heart attacks or two heart stoppages within 4 minutes. Because during the game, even like they, after the initial hit, he dropped, they got the ambulance on. They got him on the ambulance, then took him off to start CPR for 9 minutes. And it's like, when you hear that, it's like, even neither of us, doesn't matter who we support and all that, we're, like you said, we're fans of the football. And it's just like, you're like, you're stuck on the news, you're stuck on SportsCenter just waiting for like anything. And then you hear, like, even as fans, like luckily as Aussies, like, we didn't have to go to bed thinking about this. We stayed, because this happened at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock for our time. So by 8 or 9 p.m., a few hours later, we heard some positive news, which was good. But for some Americans, especially the Bills and Bengals fans, I had to go to bed, even maybe staying up at 2 or 3 a.m. to hear the positive news, which was good. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about with the NFL, but I'll throw it back to you guys. What your thoughts, your initial thoughts were? Yeah.
So modern sports, and I think in particular the NFL, it's often compared to something that's very gladiatorial, right? And I think, and you know, week to week we watch games and we see, you know, Achilles injuries, ACL injuries, concussions, and it's always next man up. We have sports betting, we have fantasy, and we berate players, you know, who don't fulfill our fantasy expectations, right? And for me, it provided a bit of pause. It was a sobering thing watching that unfold live. And John, you nailed it, with particularly Booger, and especially all the players on the field and the emotional response. Mm. I got quite emotional watching that.
Oh, me too.
It was hard to watch, but again, I could not turn away.
Mm.
And if the silver lining for me is that despite this gladiatorial comparison we always make with sports and the NFL, there was so much humanity with those players, the way they both sides rallied around DeMar, but even the fans. It was a Bengals home game. The crowd were incredibly patient and supportive. Yeah. I saw footage of a man and his son with like a sign support. There were Bengals fans like turned it the other way around and wrote a message of support there and there on the spot for number three, which was incredible. The candlelight vigils immediately at the hospital. It's been a real silver lining seeing the humanity in the sport, which is often kind of seen as a, you know, faceless corporation. And again, this whole, the whole gladiatorial thing. So, a lot to really look at from a humanity perspective, which was really enlightening.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder the effect it'll have on, obviously we talk about the NFL and the behemoth and the commerciality of it every week, but on the feelings of each individual fan. Like, we did see an incident that actually had a fatality in our national sport in Australia in cricket in 2014 when Philip Hughes was hit in the head by a bouncer. He didn't have a heart attack, in terms of at impact, but something happened to him and caused a blunt force trauma to his head that he unfortunately never survived from and was pronounced dead 2 days later. And the innocence of the sport was kind of lost for a period. Hopefully with DeMar seemingly on the mend, that doesn't happen in the NFL. And I suppose it puts in perspective what's important. A lot of messages about go home, hug your brother, hug your sister, hug your partner, all that type of stuff. One of the pleasing things I saw today was that his family had reached out to T. Higgins, because I don't think anyone in the whole world would have felt worse than him on Monday night.
Of course. Of course.
What is, you know, to our knowledge, a seemingly routine play. And, you know, I don't think there was too much head contact there, like a lowering of the shoulder into the chest and something you see
almost
a minimum every second play.
You see most running backs doing that, putting their head down, just trying to truck for their 3 yards.
Look, did anyone hear Bart Scott describe a couple of things that happened on that play that sort of might have left DeMar's chest open? Not that, like, you know, we can't speculate exactly why this happened. And again, it's not T. Higgins' fault, but I thought Bart Scott had a good description of what we actually saw out of that tackle, and that was that T. Higgins was lightly heading upfield, and I think he cut back in. And you see the way DeMar tackled him. It looks like, you know, because usually as a tackler, you're not taught to tackle with your chest. You know, you're taught to tackle with your shoulder. But in this case, T. Higgins cutting back in, and DeMar expecting to cut him off running to take the legs, is suddenly getting forced to the chest. It just goes to show, like, how many, you know, individual random events had to line up for something like this to happen, which I guess is why it hasn't happened before, and ideally it will never happen again.
Yeah. Which is Philip Hughes' comparison is so similar to
even,
that one. So freak.
For the motorsport fans, Ed and Senna back in the 90s with the he tragically died when a tyre hit his head on the barrier, and the doctors say if that tyre was 1 centimetre up or down, he would have survived and walked away from it. Yeah, so it's the game of measurement sometimes, which is, it's good to see that he's...
Yeah, I mean, on the Bart Scott point, like, the physics of the tackle, like, yeah, that's probably what occurred, but I would suspect that something has gone on with a heart issue before the impact, that the impact has exacerbated. Like, DeMar Hamlin would have made hundreds of tackles over his high school, college, and couple of year pro career to date, where there would have been chest on chest contact in most tackles at safety. Like, I felt for T. Higgins as well. Like the first, Likewise. Your first thoughts are that you want DeMar Hamlin to obviously pull through, and that's the primary concern. But the next thing is not just, you know, his family and the Bills players and stuff like that, but there's a guy that was just going out earning a living like he was, that there's a brotherhood there, that there's no maliciousness to it. And, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to see anything happen to T. Higgins' career.
Of course.
Beside the potentially Hall of Fame career, although beside the point as well.
It is hard because obviously there was a lot of just completely unfounded hate for T. Higgins. Yeah. No, like, ridiculous. You know, that's just, we talk about the humanity of people and we can talk about the positives of that, including the fact that over $5 million has been raised for his foundation.
7.3.
Wow.
His initial, this is what I was going to add, which I love about some fans and all that. It looks like every player that we know, that we don't even know, there could be even secondary or even third string players that have these charities or do these things behind the scenes. And it's good to see that. It's a good and bad thing, but also with all these players, like the bad thing that comes from this is because we've highlighted Hamlin, what he's done behind the scenes, it's like, well, all these other players are doing this as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, his charity at the start of the season, all he wanted was $2,400 for his charity. And it's surpassed $7.4 million.
Wow. And, and did you see, speaking of donations, and this is kind of funny, on a lighter note, did anyone see Chris Jericho's donation? What happened with that?
Yeah.
He misspelt his own name, so he went back and donated again.
What a legend. No, but I did see, what was the business?
The furniture business, I think.
Yeah, local furniture business that wasn't Mattress Mac of Houston Astros fame, but a smaller furniture business, or at least one with a less bombastic owner, donated, was $5,300, I think.
Yeah, I think saying the Commanders did five.
Dan Schneider forked out 5,000 of his not so hard earned.
Jesus, that guy.
You talk about some other owners like Kraft, $18,003, Jim Irsay, $21,003. You think these owners who are all, you know, billionaires would be
Woody Johnson, lifetime supply of Johnson & Johnson baby wipes?
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I didn't actually see him donate at all. A bit disappointing. I hope he did.
There'll be stuff behind the scenes. I mean, yeah, the one positive of the incident is that it's brought more notoriety to DeMar as a person, and therefore some of the causes that he's promoting, like his own foundation. Hopefully he survives. Whether he'll play again, we'll deal with that.
At 24 as well, like, it's sad to think that's, I know, not to you guys, but very close to my age. It's like, wow, like, you've just got into the NFL to your second year. First year starting because Micah Hyde went out injured in, I think, week two or week three, and you've been this big opportunity. You're smashing at the Bills. I think what the Bills are, what, top five defense as well. So he's a main.
They've been Super Bowl favorite. Yeah, exactly. They're actually no longer the favorite for the first time this year.
Who's favorite now? Chiefs?
Now the Chiefs, yeah. But the Bills had been the favorite.
On the Aussie market.
The whole year.
Yeah.
And I just think.
And that's what sort of held back the Bills last year with Tre'Davious White going down with his ACL.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously the Bills are going to be a worse team without him than with him, but. Over the off season, the medics will do their thing, and hopefully he pulls through and is able to play again. But more importantly, he's able to live.
Yeah, absolutely. Just back to the T. Higgins thing, because we didn't sort of cap that off. The hate that he was getting was just ridiculous, wasn't it? I tailed into the good side of humanity. The bad side of humanity is the berating of this player who did absolutely nothing wrong in a typical football contact scenario that has occurred hundreds of thousands of times per season. Like, it was the most routine football-looking play that we would see. And it's a freak occurrence what has happened. Maybe there's something underlying. Maybe there's not. Maybe there's just really bad luck. But the fact that T. Higgins would cop any amount of hate for this is just... it's just fucking ridiculous, you know. And I feel for him, and obviously, you know, we're so lucky that DeMar is pulling through. But, you know, you kind of said it earlier, like, it's so nice to hear DeMar's family talk about T. Higgins in a positive light, because it'd be very easy for them to scapegoat and hate too. You're looking at your son, your brother, your cousin, whatever, your nephew in hospital. perhaps not recovering, and of course it'd be easy to blame someone, but I'm really glad that they came out and obviously, you know, in support of T. Higgins and even other players, like in support of T. Higgins, because who knows better than the people who are going on that field every single week and risking their bodies for this game?
I don't, certainly among the player fraternity, I don't think there's a single person that would throw any shade toward T. Higgins for the play.
No, just idiots on social media, unfortunately. But guess what? We're going to cop that all the time anyway. So, you know, what we thought it might be fun to do. There's a couple of things that we're going to be doing from here. First of all, we are going to throw a donation towards the foundation. So we are going to go ahead and arrange that after today's call, after we chop this up and get this live. It's only right. And if you're out there and you've got $5 or you've got $50 or you've got $5 million, do throw something that way. It's not for him. It's not for his benefit. It's for the benefit of other children. And, you know, if anything, hopefully we are slowly becoming more aware of other charitable causes that other lesser-known players have. I hope this is a really good opportunity to find more of those and for other players to be able to leverage you know, their following to be able to do more of this. But the other thing we're going to do, you know, in typical Aussie style, is we're going to drink to health and we're going to drink for Damar. We've all got a shot of the finest Jack Daniel's single barrel select. We're going to cheers it at the middle if we can all reach each other, which we kind of can. And on 3, 2, 1, we're going to say for Damar.
The most American of drops.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, I'm doing this Becca when I have that.
Yeah. That wasn't fun, but anyway.
Hopefully, we can talk about now with obviously the elephant in the room with his game getting cancelled as of today.
Yeah.
What do we do? What does the NFL think? Is it unfair to the Chiefs? Is it unfair to the Bengals or Bills that want to get the number one seed? I think
it's a big discussion. Important to preface this by saying that there will not be a perfect situation.
No, someone's going to be ripped.
It's what is the least bad situation. Yeah. And leading up to today, we got an announcement that the Bills-Bengals game will not go ahead. Prior to that, I mean, there were broadly like two principles the NFL could go by. They could go through the what is the most equitable route for teams so they can preserve all their previous playoff seeding hopes and potential, or what's the most least disruptive thing logistically. Personally, I'm surprised they've gone with the latter. I think there was some really creative opportunities to go with the former, but it's where we've ended up. Now, perhaps we go through the news today, like what is going to be put before the owners, what the options are, but
yep,
the game has been cancelled. It will not go ahead, which effectively means that the Bills and Bengals will have a
one game less.
One game less, exactly, Evan. So 16 games rather than 17. And this does have an effect on top of the AFC pecking order.
As well the North, but actually they've confirmed the North is the Bengals champ.
So
by default, yeah.
Yeah. So on this, the potential seedings affected were
1, 2, 3, 5,
and 6 potentially with the Chargers leapfrogging the Ravens shall if the Bengals beat the Ravens this week. Albeit that wouldn't be a direct effect of the no game. Contest being declared. So all positions other than 4 and 7 in the AFC could have been affected by this. And one of them being a divisional champion with Cincinnati and Baltimore. Obviously, Baltimore would have had a chance to win the division if Cincinnati had lost on Monday and Baltimore had beat them on the coming Sunday. My opinion, Baltimore probably don't deserve to win a division anyway.
Not right now.
I mean, you can't score 14 points a week. But I think they've done the right thing, to be honest. As Matt said, there's no perfect way. One of the things I was concerned about was an expanded playoffs and a impacting of the NFC side of the draw and potential teams in the 7 to 10 area that could have brought more revenue and games in, but just completely destroys the sanctity of the regular season, in my opinion. Like, it's a 256, it used to be 256 plus, 16, so 272-game regular season where one game has been affected. So, like, I think what they've done is the best of possible alternatives, really.
Yeah.
Several issues with how they handled Monday night, with potentially telling people they've got 5 minutes to warm back up.
That was unbelievable.
You know, beyond inhumane is probably the word. But what they've done today, I think, as a competition committee.
Well, there's one thing I have to bring up, though, and this is what I was looking at. So, and it could be my interpretation of the rule book, but my understanding is this. The competition committee can prepare scenarios, but the owners – group have the right to accept or veto, though. They do have the right to veto what the competition committee can pull together. That was my understanding.
Yeah, so they announced this, and the clubs, therefore the owners, are voting on this tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah,
morning our time, isn't it? Because it's tomorrow.
Yeah, 10 a.m. Eastern. So we're talking about
two in the morning
our time. Sydney time. But my understanding, and perhaps my interpretation is wrong, so if I'm wrong, someone please correct me. I understand it as the competition committee prepares scenarios, but the owners group can knock back both scenarios, and the competition committee has to come back with another scenario.
Yep.
The owners group could still choose to decline both of these scenarios that we're about to present. In an effort to push for something else. And, you know, my fundamental fear is that we've seen this time and time again, and it's never going to be perfect, but let's not forget that owning an NFL team is a business. It's not, and they're not non-for-profits. The NFL as an organization itself is a not-for-profit, which is why any share of playoff game revenue, ticket revenue, or jersey revenue, like all these other stuff, you know, TV rights gets spread equally among the teams. The NFL cannot keep any money. Right? But the NFL is still an organization driven by greed, because you've got 32 team owners that did get into this to lift the value of their franchise. My fundamental fear is that they knock back both these options because, for whatever reason, they do want to see an eighth, and therefore they do want to see more revenue. Yeah. I hope they don't, they may not.
I don't see, like, from all 32 teams' perspective.
Do all 32 have to be unanimous, or does it have to be half? Does it have to be 24?
75%.
75%.
Yeah. So I don't see there being much at stake for vast majority of the franchises here.
If you think about it,
back another offer.
The teams that have already made the playoffs, which is what, 11 of the 14 that are confirmed, they'll definitely knock that back. So surely that option will be knocked back.
Well, Buffalo and Cincinnati won't knock it back.
Of course they won't knock it back.
Unless there's a mental issue with some of the players or something like that. But
yeah.
To me, like, I look at it and I think the perception in the eyes of the owners, and maybe the guys, the 31 owners and the city of Green Bay, they don't particularly care, but it's a horrid look to be trying to profit from this. And if they have an 18 game regular season or an 18 playoff, and it's introduced before the season starts for 2023 or beyond, I got no issue with that as a fan. You cannot change the structure of the playoffs.
Yeah.
On literally twice the eve in three of the playoffs, years. And they cannot have a big swinging dick contest about this tomorrow, because they'll back up against week 18 with proposal, counter proposal, second vote, third vote.
Yeah, they need to get it.
There'll be a decision made tomorrow. And to me, these seem as fair as you can possibly make them. Realistically, there's only – if you move the Chargers to the side around seed 5 or 6, and what does that mean? It's just who you play away out of seeds 4 or 3. There's really only Kansas City, the two teams that played this game, and Baltimore that are affected by it. And to be fair, Kansas City have already had their chance to beat both the teams and lost. Baltimore, if they lose to Cincinnati on the weekend, they'll finish behind them anyway. There should be no disruption of the NFC bracket. Why would anybody like?
Why should there be a Washington or a Green Bay and Detroit make an eighth seed if the AFC is going
to be? I look at it. It depends, and that's not even there's no proposal to make, and there has to be a counter proposal, and whether
you can't have 8 in the AFC and 7 in the NFC.
No, it would be equal. It would be equal the whole way along. I agree with you, Mitch. I think it'd be bad for optics. I don't think it's great for the integrity of the sport either.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, and you know, as much as my Jets might benefit from that, I think it'd be a really shitty way of doing that. Could you imagine 2 8th seeds winning the Super Bowl?
It's going to be Detroit versus New York.
Well, we're in there. Like, there's a real chance. Like, there's a real chance on the weekend that, you know, obviously Dallas are in the playoffs, but, you know, the Jets, the Patriots, the Seahawks.
Yeah.
there's a real chance that they're gonna, between those three teams, they're going to be seeds eight on both sides. Mm-hmm. Seattle are obviously seed eight if Green Bay win.
Yep.
And New England are seed eight if they lose and Miami win.
Yep. Mm.
So,
So going on what they're going to say tomorrow, so there's for Buffalo and Kansas City, this is a big one. The AFC Championship they're talking about at a neutral venue.
Yep.
So that's the – if Buffalo and Kansas City play each other, doesn't matter who's home or away, neutral venue. If Buffalo Cincinnati play each other, neutral venue. And if Cincinnati and Kansas City play each other, neutral venue. So that's the top three.
Mm.
One thing is, like we were saying, like I look at it, I don't know, you guys may disagree. Before this game, before this week, they all have win probabilities, they all have playoff probabilities and seeding. I feel like the fair thing to do – say Buffalo had a 70% chance to be number one seed, you go off percentages.
No, man.
I know it's unfair.
But do you see how aggressively those percentages shift week over week, though?
But then you look at the...
Particularly how close to
shift
them
late.
You then look at the second one. Buffalo, if Baltimore do beat the Bengals on Monday, they're going to have a coin flip to see if they're going to play in Cincinnati or Baltimore. Are you serious? Imagine looking back at this in 5 years. We got eliminated on a coin flip.
A bunch of stuff gets determined via a coin flip in the NFL.
Like what?
Overtime.
What else?
Kickoff, overtime.
Yeah, but not a game, not a venue.
I think that's the very last stage of a tiebreak procedure. Yeah, still a venue. Get to see.
just on the venue though. Like we've seen, and Kansas City are a great example because they've been the best regular season team the last 5 years. They're one of the greatest regular season runs of all time. They've hosted four consecutive AFC Championship games. Yeah, they've only won two of them. Last year, Cincinnati played in Kansas City and come from 20-3 down and beat them. Buffalo probably should have beat them in Kansas City the week before. Cincinnati won on the road the entire playoffs last year, basically. Does it mean that much, particularly when they are all – I get the dome versus the outside, the southwest versus
the – Well, they both have all of them.
I get the southwest versus the northeast, the style of football debate, but all three of them are cold weather cities. Mm. All three of them are roughly as good as each other by record this year. I don't care where they play. There'll be three of the last four teams left in the AFC and just let them play somewhere. It'll sort itself out. The best team will win, and one of those three teams will probably win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Any predictions if they do an neutral venue, where they're going to go?
Hawaii. But, you know, if they have to do a neutral venue, why not bring
– MetLife.
Why MetLife? Like, why not –
80,000 AFC team plays there?
No. Because I think what they got to do is they got to bring it somewhere where fans who are never going to have a chance to see a playoff game will see a playoff game.
I think realistically,
it's unfair for the fans of the teams they make.
Well, you want
her holiday.
You want it in a big stadium in something that is accessible for fans of both teams. So they're not going to decide it until they work out who the two teams are in it.
And they don't want Kansas City traveling all the way to New York if Buffalo's in it, for instance.
I imagine. That if it's Buffalo versus Kansas City, they'll probably play in somewhere like Pittsburgh.
Or Detroit. I could probably see it in Detroit.
Or Detroit.
Buffalo's second home ground?
Yeah. They'll play it in the Midwest. And Cincinnati and Kansas City. Two of those three teams are going to be in the AFC Championship game, so it will become an issue at some point.
Yeah, it will. It'll be totally neutral ground, but what the NFL will do is I think they'll pick a closed roof stadium because they'll want to see the highest quality game possible, and they don't want the weather to affect it. So it'll either be in Detroit, it might be in New Orleans, it might be in Atlanta, just a stadium that's obviously, I don't think it'll be on the West Coast. Mm. It'll definitely be an East Coast stadium.
100% will be East Coast stadium.
But that's what I could see happening. But, you know, the real issue for me is just the first round bye piece.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the big one for me.
Yeah, and that's why it couldn't have been eight, because you lose that in full. Like all teams lose.
Exactly. Even Philly, in the chat.
If you had it on the NFC side, you'd have Philadelphia playing someone –
Detroit.
That probably shouldn't have even made the playoffs. And Philadelphia, until their quarterback got hurt, were 13-1 and won nine games by more than a score. Yeah. Like, it would have been preposterous. Like, I don't think there's a better way of doing it than what they've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than if you pushed everything back a week and made Buffalo.
We're saying that.
Well, I think that Personally, if I was sitting
can
in
they
that competition,
still do that? Or no, they can't. They've cancelled the game.
They've cancelled. They've now called it a no contest. That is at least official. The only thing official right now is that that game is a no contest and will not get played. If I was in the competition committee, what I would have done is I would have pushed back the playoffs by a week. You can't push the Super Bowl because there's just too much riding on that. But you can push back the playoff games. You don't need the Pro Bowl this year. I mean, the Pro Bowl's been a useless display for many years, but the Pro Bowl this year, especially, as a fucking skills competition, so it's going to be which quarterback can throw the ball through the fucking hoop. It's a waste of everyone's time and energy. You don't need that week. And the NFL used to go from the conference championship games to the Super Bowl the next week.
Yeah. If we can riff on this idea of pushing everything back, and I know it's been called off, but I saw something super interesting in terms of pushing everything back, whereby they'd have week 18 as normal. They would have the wild card weekend, but only for the NFC teams, plus making up this Bills-Bengals game.
I saw that as well.
Then the week after that, it would be the AFC side wild card. Then it'll be the divisional as normal, championship can't game per normal, into Super Bowl getting rid of the...
But then Philly, as a first seed, has a two to three week break.
The Chiefs could have a three-week bye.
No, they could.
I just think what should have happened was, like I said, if it was me, I would have just pushed it back. But I know the logistics. So, you know, I'm sure there was a fucking John Bon Jovi concert somewhere that couldn't get moved. You know, that's probably what it would have come down to.
Well, there's logistic issues already. We mentioned Ford Field. Apparently that has been booked out.
Really?
Eminem? If I don't know who it is.
Taylor Swift.
But if they do go with these neutral venues, apparently it's off the cards.
AT&T should be free.
Deal with the neutral venues later. I think it's the best possible way outside of pushing everything back. And to be honest, even with pushing it back, I don't know how quickly Buffalo and Cincinnati want to play each other again.
The thing is, at the moment, they're the 2 and 3 seeds. So they'll be both in their wildcard games. They're playing. But then again, what do you do with the venue there? Do you throw a coin at it? Do you just give it a Buffalo? What can you do there?
Take a coin at the sign and then hope that it...
That's not going to be the case, though.
It wouldn't be.
Because... So if Buffalo win this week, they go to, what is it, 13-3?
They go to 13-3.
But Kansas will be 14-3, so they'll have the high percentage, yeah. Yeah, wow. So they will be 2-3.
Yeah, and they'll obviously second plays a higher seed.
It's funny. You don't cheer for results, really, as an administrative body.
You'd want the Chiefs to lose, I guess.
The NFL desperately want the Chiefs to lose this week, don't they, really?
But yeah.
Is that a Mitch's multi later, maybe?
Well, you know what? If the Chiefs lose this week, then we know the NFL's scripted.
Oh, for sure.
Like if suddenly Mahomes is riding the bench in a game where they should be locking up first overall.
If Stidham performed like he did last week.
The Chiefs have played with their food for 5 weeks in a row. Like they will absolutely hose the Raiders in a big turn-up for the playoffs.
I think so. The only thing that we haven't talked about so far is just the NFL's response on the field. And I do want to cross over that before we move into the rest of the stuff, which we are going to go through today. We've still got the normal, regular, amazing, enormous show planned that we're going to get into in a second, but this 5 minute thing and then the NFL denying it. I mean, who do you believe?
The justification NFL have provided is whenever there's a weather event like a thunderstorm, crazy winds, whatever. Apparently, I have to watch this back, but the Harbaugh Bowl blackout Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like 20-30 minutes blackout there. This 5 minute rule is just this boilerplate time allowable for teams to reset themselves. So the officials on ground just relied upon the generic rules without not much information on hand. Yes, the situation looks super serious, but you know, to give the NFL any semblance of a benefit of the doubt, apparently they've just relied upon this default rule.
Right.
I've not looked too far into it, but yeah, look, I think there's a lot of cynical views on the situation. I'm keen to hear.
Especially with, Joe Buck was saying that even players like Stephon Diggs, after went into the locker room and got changed into his street clothes, the game was even called off. The players and the coaches and the refs called it off before Roger Goodell got on the phone. But the one guy I got to thank, especially obviously the paramedics and the Bills staff that was there, was also Zach Taylor. So during this 5 minute warm up where Burrow was throwing, Josh Allen was still on the sideline contemplating what the fuck happened to his teammate. Zach Taylor ran to the sideline, went to the refs, went to the Bills coach. And said, listen, we don't feel right playing this game. You don't feel all right. Let's go in the locker room, whatever, 30 minutes, an hour, however they want it to long, or even they decided then not to play the game, which is credit to Zach Taylor, because he could have easily said, oh, no, he's given us 5 minutes, we're playing the game, we want the win, we're at home. Easy could have said it, but as the good human most of us are, he just did the sensible thing.
I heard that Zach Taylor went across there to talk to Sean McDermott, but also the captains of the Bengals came into the Bills locker room to check on everyone. So that's Joe Burrow and a couple of other guys. They actually went to the opposing team's locker room and just said, hey, we're just here to check in on you guys to see how you're doing, because this was obviously shocking.
Short take, I think, is that the five-minute thing was potentially a cliched or procedural line.
Mm.
It was a mistake that may have been made before the NFL knew the full gravity of the situation medically. It was very quickly changed, and whether they called it off or the players called it off, the right decision or the right outcome ended up happening. I don't think we need to go too much into the was that the right or wrong thing to do. The most important thing was that the game was called off on the night or postponed until a decision was made today, obviously, and prioritised DeMar's health and the mental health of the rest of the players and staff of both organisations.
Also, we didn't mention in the promo, Ryan Clark actually said some good words as well on ESPN, which is good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
As well as really Bill McFarlane.
Anyone see Dan Orlovsky's prayer? Yeah, Dan Orlovsky prayed on is it Get Up, the show with Green? Is that what it was on? I can't remember what show. Maybe NFL Live.
But Good Morning America, maybe? Good Morning
America. Good Morning America.
I think it was Get Up. They're the two anchors that are rooting each other, aren't they? Good Morning America. Is that that story? The blonde girl and the African-American host. That
oh, really?
They've had an affair, and but yeah.
Well, you know, once you go, you never go back. That's probably a good time, seeing that guy is drilling that girl. I think it's a good time to get into the 2 minute drill. 2 minute drill sponsored by the Good Morning America hosts
and Drildo.
In fact, in this case, it might be sponsored by Trojan condoms. You know, just to fit the stereotype. Hey, Matt, let's get off that topic and into the 2 minute drill. Talk to us, buddy.
Derek Carr has been benched for the remainder of the 2022 season, making it all but certain that he has played his last snap as a Raider. Carr's former Fresno State running mate and Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams echoed the sentiments of the locker room, stating that nobody was excited by the move, and went on to say that Carr is the whole reason he is in Las Vegas in the first place. Carr's 2023 $32.9 million base, plus his $7.5 million 2024 salary, will become fully guaranteed on the 15th of February, which is 3 days after the Super Bowl. Former Texan, current Cardinal, and future Hall of Fame defensive end J.J. Watt announced that he will retire at the end of the season. Watt made his decision to avoid being branded as washed, but namely for his own health and transition into fatherhood. Despite suffering a plethora of injuries since 2017, Watt's first 5 seasons were nothing short of historic. He tallied 74.5 sacks, 15 forced fumbles, an interception, and 299 tackles while earning 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. Watt will play his final match at Levi Stadium against the 49ers in Week 18. Days after Michigan's loss to TSU, it has been reported that Panthers owner David Tepper has had an informal conversation with Jim Harbaugh about Carolina's head coaching position. Harbaugh indicated during a Fiesta Bowl news conference that he would return to Michigan, but added, no man knows the future.
Mm.
Current interim coach Steve Wilks is considered the front runner for the job. Even if Tepper does decide to hire Wilks, he does have to interview 2 other minority candidates outside the organization pursuant to the NFL's Rooney Rule. Greg Penner, George Payton, and a host of Denver Broncos players have publicly defended Russell Wilson in the wake of Nathaniel Hackett's sacking. Penner reiterated the long-term nature of the Wilson trade. Payton described Wilson as fixable, and the likes of Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler attempted to dispel the public perception of Wilson not being invested in the organization.
What a mess.
Wilson himself commented on his own performance this season, wishing he would have played better for Hackett, and will explore a regiment overhaul ahead of the 2023 season. Colts interim head coach Jeff Saturday took exception to Giants rookie edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau snow angel celebration following a first half sack that injured quarterback Nick Foles during Indianapolis's 38-10 loss on Sunday. Saturday described Thibodeau's celebration as tasteless and trash, and also called out his own O-lineman for not attempting to stop the celebration. Thibodeau did express remorse and sent well wishes to Foles, but fired back at Saturday, stating, "I don't know who Jeff Saturday is. Anybody who comments on it, unless I know who they are, it doesn't really affect me."
He's just taken snaps for Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning first.
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
And then Aaron Rodgers.
And he's an all-pro, so yeah. Good one, rookie, dickhead.
Yeah, unbelievable response. But guys, I do want to double-click on the Derek Carr situation, and rightfully so the DeMar Hamlin news has overshadowed everything. It's paled, everything else is pales in insignificance. But, you know, what has happened with Derek Carr and the Raiders organization has, you know, depending on what perspective you look at it, it can be a slap in the face. You know, Derek Carr's not on the sidelines, not welcome to the building or anything at all. But then from a pure business position, obviously there's $40.4 million worth of guarantees at stake here. If you send him out there last two games of the season, he gets injured, really sets back the Raiders, right? So keen to throw it out there around the Derek Carr situation.
Well, I just want to fact check that really quickly because I don't think he's not allowed to be around the organization.
He's chosen not to.
He's chosen to step away so that he doesn't provide a distraction, which I think is fair because, you know what the camera's going to do. Right? The camera is going to fucking, where's Derek Carr? What's Derek Carr doing? Of course it's going to be a distraction. Reporters will be all about it, you know? So I think it's actually a fair decision.
Do you think it's an amicable breakup? I mean, no.
Of course not. He wants to earn that money.
Yeah. So
he's not going to.
Yeah, no, but it needs to happen.
I agree.
From both, I know who's going both there. Parties.
Tom Brady's going there.
Yeah,
Wait. So I had some notes on this. So obviously they're going to move off Carr. Adams is unhappy. The only way to keep Adams happy is he has a nice QB. Who's the Raiders coach?
Josh Stidham.
Who's the Raiders coach?
Joshy boy.
Mm-hmm. Good mates with
TB12.
Plus, like, you can fact check me here, Mitch. Last time he had a big wide receiver one, what would you say? Randy Moss 07? Like, yeah, you had Edelman all those years, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't a big one.
You could say Mike Evans.
But definitely Mike Evans. Yeah. The only wide receiver to have nine consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
I just think he goes
to Vegas in a dome.
Yeah, but he spent his entire life, albeit being the best player in the division, being in clearly the best team in the division, even the last 3 years at Tampa. Even if he goes to the Raiders.
Oh, you're versing Mahomes twice a year.
And the Chargers. Like, if the Chargers had a competent coach, they'd be a 12 or 13 win team. Like, they've got a sensational squad. Their quarterback's extremely good young player. Denver are a mess. But, like, if Russell Wilson does turn around, you know, they've got a good defense and a number of pieces. Like, Denver were $15 to win the Super Bowl at the start of the season.
That's so funny.
I don't know. Like, the Raiders were the worst team in the division on paper before the season started. Is Tom Brady at 46 years old an upgrade on Derek Carr at the moment? He probably isn't.
I agree with that. I agree.
Like, if you get Tom Brady from 2014, maybe. But
sure, yeah.
I just don't see any way you keep Adams happy if he wants to call a trade.
Then trade him and get seven first-round picks.
Well, it's interesting.
Well, and that's where they need to be because they've fucked up all of their high picks over a number of years.
Even Josh Jacobs, they didn't want to pay him. Someone's going to pay him.
I can't believe they didn't exercise his fifth-year option. That was so stupid. He's clearly one of the best young running backs in the NFL, and you don't take his fifth-year option where you can guarantee he sticks around. They got the money for it. It's just that – and that's the only draft pick that they've hit on recently.
Well, do they? I mean, they're traditionally a cheap franchise that don't spend.
Yeah, but then they move to Vegas.
And on that point, do we see any other option but the Raiders cutting Derek Carr?
Yeah, they'll cut.
No one will trade for their contract.
Well, exactly. The dead cap hit is $5.6 million.
You're basically in the same position that Cleveland were with Mayfield.
$5.5 million.
Yeah, it's very similar comp. Yeah, and probably a fairly similar player in terms of what they've produced at NFL level, albeit a few more years at Carr, but you know, a couple of early playoff appearances at best.
Yeah,
but not much after that.
He takes up 10% of the roster, Derek Carr, with their cap,
which is half the course for a above average quarterback, which he probably isn't, but he by tenure he's been the starter. What, 9 years?
Something like that.
Look, they need to break up. The Raiders are in a bad position, largely but they've got three absolutely elite players in Adams, Jacobs and Max Crosby.
Well, I think Evan makes a really good point, though. You need a quarterback that those players would be happy with.
They have $8 million in cap to play with. So with Carr getting released, they'll have 21.
Wow. Jesus.
They'll find a way with Brady. Shit. Like they gave Gruden equity. They'll find a way to pay Brady through a an arrangement financially that would work for him if he wants to go there.
Well, the Patriots did. Didn't the Patriots hire his like nutrition business or something like that?
Not sure how willing Tom Brady's going to be accepting anything but cash after this whole FTX thing. But anyway,
well, he's definitely not accepting Bitcoin anymore.
No.
Well, it depends when he gets the cash. He might have to pay half of it to Giselle. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Like. Is that a fit for him? If Brady wants to play a place somewhere, the Raiders will probably want him. Does he want to go there? Does he want to go to somewhere that hard week in, week out, late in his career? Like
plays in the a ceiling dome, for plays the, in a dome for the first time.
What's the ceiling? Winning 9 games, 10 games? The AFC is really hard. The AFC West is the hardest.
Yeah, probably. I think he's happy to be out of the AFC, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to go back. And who knows that he actually wants to even go back and play for McDaniels. Doesn't matter that it's a familiar offense. Like, maybe he just doesn't want to be there anymore. Let's not forget that when he left the Patriots, McDaniels was still there. And McDaniels was heir apparent for Belichick.
Mm.
So perhaps behind the scenes, Brady never wanted to be there anymore anyway.
Yeah, he'll probably want to go somewhere where he'll play to win. Thankfully.
Yeah.
49ers.
Play to win the game.
49ers.
I saw some guys say Commanders.
Well, I think on McDaniels, though, the issue with McDaniels is the man management side, not the offensive play calling side. Like, the Raiders' offense is fine, but they struggle situationally on both sides of the ball. They give away heaps of boneheaded penalties. They lose a lot of close games. They're like, the leadership piece is the thing with Josh McDaniels. And I don't know, obviously at New England with Tom and Bill for so long, like all he had to do was run the offense with Tom being his commander in chief.
Exactly.
And speaking of coaches, I do want to talk about Jim Harbaugh and this news. How much attention are we paying to this? How legitimate do we think this is?
More than Sean Payton leaving the Saints, because at this point in time, the Saints have said that if Sean Payton's going to come back, they want to trade him, and they at least want a first round pick back as compensation.
High price.
Otherwise, they're going to keep him. So I actually think that if teams had the choice between the two, why would you get rid of capital when you've got another proven? I mean, Jim Harbaugh was incredibly proven at the NFL level. He's not like your average college coach that comes in and shits the bed.
Well, he turned around a franchise that was 6-10.
And he did it with two quarterbacks.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Like, that's the biggest thing. He did it with two... No, not Joe Flacco. Wrong team,
that's
bro.
John.
Alex Smith was considered a bust.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Jim Harbaugh comes back in and changes the guy, completely 180s him, gets two good playoff seasons out of him, right? Hmm. Then he takes Colin Kaepernick, another quarterback who was not considered to be of incredible talent, and makes the... And, you know, by the way, changes the entire offense and goes and uses mid-season. His pistol stuff. Mid-season. Hmm. Uses the pistol formation, which had not been seen, I don't think, in the NFL for like 20 years. Yeah. Real college thing. But you know, and before that... And who was his quarterback before that? Does anyone remember? Where did he coach before he coached for the Niners?
At the NFL level?
Stanford. Yeah, who was his fucking quarterback that he developed at Stanford?
Andrew Luck.
Arguably one of the best quarterback prospects. And, by the way, if Andrew Luck didn't lose his passion for the game because Ursay never protected him, probably right now would be, Indianapolis would be in a vastly different position than they are today.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck had married at NFL level, and they won a Super Bowl.
Imagine that.
Probably. Well, you know what's really interesting? Yeah. Do you know that Jim Harbaugh played quarterback in the NFL?
He did.
Who did he play for?
Oh, geez.
He played for...
It's so obvious. He played for the team that Andrew Luck ended up going to. He played for the Colts.
Who was the draft guy, the one that Mel Kiper?
Yeah.
The thing like, you have Jim Harbaugh at quarterback. This is why they're picking first every year.
Yeah, I forgot about that clip. That's pretty funny. You know, speaking of funny things.
Who the hell is Mel Kiper anyway? Yeah.
speaking of funny shit, did anyone see that? It was like a quote that went viral on social media that turned out to be fake. And it was something from, apparently it was like, JJ Watt said that he determined he was going to retire when Kyler Murray delivered a halftime speech and he said, fuck this.
There's zero chance. J.J. Watt's body would not have pushed him into retirement if he was at a perennial playoff team right now. He would have found a way to keep playing if he was at – even at Pittsburgh with his brother, or he was at a, you know, a full-on contender like one of the big three AFC sides. Which
spoke who knows?
Philly,
who knows?
Dallas. Like, JJ Watt will appear somewhere next year after 6 months of rest.
I'll never forget, I think John remembers when we're talking to him, in 2016 when Dak had his rookie year. And Dallas and Houston were talking with a Romo and J.J. Watt trade. And Houston wanted two firsts. And we're like, no, we'll give you a first and Romo. But they held out for the extra first. So who knows? If they did accept, we would have had J.J. Watt for a good 4 or 5 years. Still a choke, though. But
all
still.
Roads lead back to Dallas with Evan.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course
and
they
the
do.
Next part will as well with the – I think the we're going to go into the playoff picture.
No, we're not going to go into the playoff picture.
Oh, we can quickly go over it. Yeah, I mean, we've spoken at length about the
let's
the,
just
the,
do the NFC. It's way too messy on the AFC.
Forget the AFC. What's the position right now? What's the update?
Yeah, so in the NFC, number one seed can be clinched
for
the
third week in a row.
Yeah, Eagles are still in it. 49ers or Cowboys can take out
imagine
the number one.
The Brock Purdy led.
Good on them.
Niners.
Surely the Giants are pulling their starters and the Eagles win.
Oh, no, you'd have to think.
Why? Because this time last year, what did the Eagles do? The Giants had a chance to make the playoffs, and the Eagles rested their players against the Commanders.
They got too much to play for, man.
Yeah, but why would they risk their own key players when they've already made the playoffs?
You know what? Because Darbaugh came out and said he believes in momentum more than rest. Which
fuck those Eagles.
You know, it depends how it goes, right? If they come out of that game healthy and they win and momentum's a big thing, then great.
Yeah, I mean, and he's been through the systems at New England and Buffalo who don't rest players. So I can see them playing them. They lose anyway, but yeah.
Let's quickly go through the clinching scenario. So Eagles simply need to win against the Giants. They can also get in if the Cowboys lose or tie at the Commanders, or if the 49ers lose or tie against the Cardinals. 49ers clinch with a win against the Cardinals, but will require the Eagles to lose. Cowboys will need quite a bit of help. They do need to win against the Commanders, but will need Eagles and Niners to lose. The intrigue is the seventh seed in the NFC. It will be effectively determined in the last match of the regular season.
It's crazy how the Seahawks are the seventh seed now and they have the least percentage to make it out.
Well, it makes sense though, right? Because you think about it, because...
What is it? It's conf, but I think who does Seattle play this week?
So Seattle play the Rams.
That's
but
also
even if,
a conference win. That's what I don't get.
Yeah, but they're still behind on conference record against the Green Bay Packers. The way the tiebreak procedure works, so currently it's
aren't they on the same record?
I'll explain it. Seahawks, Lions, Green Bay, all on the same record, 8-8. But because we beat the Lions earlier in the year, it's based on head-to-head first, and then the next tiebreak procedure between the Lions and Green Bay. Is based on their head-to-head or conference record.
Oh, because the Lions beat them earlier this year?
And they beat them earlier this year.
Ah, yes.
So that's why even if we win, then when we are
directly...
Because
then it'll be tied head-to-head, then it'll go to conference.
Correct.
Yes, okay.
Correct.
But the Seahawks hold a better conference record than
not
the Lions.
Not against the Packers, but...
Against the Lions,
we have
the Packers.
Exactly. Well, no, we have head-to-head against the Lions.
Yeah.
Well,
but better conference... Yeah. Worst conference record against the Packers.
It depends, though, because what it really depends on is whether or not the NFL decides to listen to Evan's proposal from a few weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
No, which is where...
the Seahawks
give the win back to the Lions.
That was against the Raiders.
Yeah, the 12th man.
The 12th
man.
That thing. But it will be intriguing because the Lions-Packers game has been flexed to Sunday night.
I'm happy.
There's been a bit of controversy around this one because the Lions could know whether they are in or out of the playoffs. The Seahawks win. There's no way the Lions can make it.
But still they want to stop the Packers from making it.
Yeah, but there's been a little controversy around it, like why not play it at the same time? So they don't know. So all teams don't know what the outcome is. So everyone's playing the hardest they possibly can and not deliberately lose. Or
well, I mean, how
do
you...
Then would you have a Sunday night? Because you can't have a Dallas or a Philly game because then they'll know the result. Well, technically you could have Philly and the Giants at the last game.
You could have...
Because then Philly will have to go for the division number one seed.
Yeah, well, the issue with not knowing what you need to do, you can't get around that unless you made... The only game you could do, I'd imagine, would be Jacksonville, Tennessee, but it's on the previous day. Because that's the only game where the two teams
win
directly affect each other. Yeah, but who the fuck's going to watch Jacksonville and Tennessee compared to watching Aaron Rodgers try and secure a playoff spot against Dan Campbell?
It's the right decision. It'll be a lot of points, super interesting.
Green Bay, massive brand. They got huge momentum. They got one of the most famous faces in world sport. Like, Green Bay have to be the game. Yeah, like, I know Philly and Dallas are big brands too, and interesting.
But and you know it comes back to me, which I have to include my Dallas Cowboys. Comes back to choking a double-digit lead against the Packers and Jacksonville. Could easily have number one seed, but then as a Dallas fan, I don't know what I want.
Jacksonville win the Super Bowl this year.
Do I want to go to Tom Brady? Do I want Aaron Rodgers to come to Jerry World if we come second? I think it's hard for Dallas. Like,
you guys needed to lose out the last 3 weeks to have a more favorable position.
We've always had four.
The answer is
you need to lose out for the last 3 weeks.
The answer out of those two is that, to me, you want to play at home. Like, Dallas are 8-1 at home this year.
Yeah, but what's Aaron Rodgers at AT&T? He's 4-0. Oh, no,
the bad man.
Stephen A. Smith, I can imagine him.
Yeah. We got to move on from this topic because we've got so much to cover. And I think next week, obviously, we will know 100% what ended up happening. And by the way, at that point in time, we'll go back and look at some of our guesstimations, if you will, including mine, that the Jets would win out. Anyway, we'll get to that. Frisco winning out 9 weeks ago.
One away from holding that putt. 10 in a row.
ED. All right, let's get into the game reviews because we did pick some games, as we always do. Obviously, one game that we picked that we're not going to bother talking about is the game we've been speaking about, and that is the Cincinnati-Buffalo game. But outside of that, that leaves us with, what, 4 games that we did go ahead and pick? So let's cancel that one off. Matt, take us from the top.
Yep, first up we have Panthers at Bucks. The Bucks have secured the division title and punched their ticket to the postseason. Yeah. Brady and Evans rediscovered the deep ball. Evans recorded 207 yards, 3 touchdowns, each on enormous outage plays. Yes, John.
Have you seen that? Just to take the double entendre there.
Yeah.
Have you heard that Brady's got a new girlfriend now? So he definitely has rediscovered the deep ball. He's some 31-year-old model from South America. History repeating itself. Apparently she's married. So yeah, I think.
She's like a Russian or something.
Russian? Is she? I don't know. Ukrainian? Yeah. I don't know. She's from some part of the world that is foreign and blonde. But he has rediscovered the deep ball.
He has.
So what did we pick?
The score was 30-24 to the Bucks. Evan went 20-17 Bucks, 3 points off. I said Bucks 18-13, 1 point off. Mitch, Bucks 17-14, 3 points off. John, Panthers 23-20, 9
almost.
Off.
And it looked very likely.
It looks super likely.
Up 11.
Yeah. The play of the day was that
punt.
That debacle of a punt situation. I mean, the Panthers could have had the ball in the 50 with 40 seconds. I don't think they had any timeouts at that stage, but it was a really good game to watch, though. So not a bad pick, John. It was close.
It was
down to the wire.
It's close. I tell you what, watching that game, there was only one thing going through my mind, and that was,
why didn't we stick with Sam Darnold?
Yeah, you know?
That was going through my mind as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I actually would have done if I was the Jets? I understand why they picked Zach Wilson. The talent is there. He's just not pulling it together. Today they've come out and said, we should have rested the guy. I would have kept Sam and drafted Zach and then let Zach develop for 2 years and just given you plenty of options. But that's me. I'm not the GM.
What about how it comes back to, I think it was week 14 against the Rams, where you won, and if you just tanked, you would have had Trev.
I know about that.
Like, there's heaps of options that are better than Wilson.
Well, we could have also picked Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson when we picked Sam. So, you know, there's plenty of things that couldn't happen. At least we didn't pick Josh Rosen. But we may have picked a similar type of player now. So I was the only one who was wrong.
Yes.
So that puts me down
0-1.
0-1.
We're 1-0. The next game was Browns at Commanders.
Ooh.
After an anemic first half from the Browns, the offensive dam broke in the second stanza with 3 consecutive touchdowns on their 3 possessions. Carson Wentz finished a day with 3 interceptions and a 31.4 passer rating.
What did I say? Give it to me verbatim. What did I say?
Carson Wentz sucks dick.
Yeah.
This is where I predicted on the chat, remember?
Carson Wentz sucks balls.
Sucks balls.
And what did he do?
We sucked balls. Man.
3 picks.
And he threw 3.
And got booed.
31.4 passer rating. I don't think I've seen it. I think we've had some of the 20s. for PJ Walker.
But they're going with the third stringer now this week. The
they are.
The Commies.
They as well.
Who is their third stringer?
I did read this earlier. Sorry, I'll get that.
No, that's all good.
I don't know.
Who the fuck? Jeez, they're really going down the depth chart now, aren't they?
They are,
the
they commanders. Are. So he's a rookie. He's a rookie, I think. But yeah, well, what did we all? What was the score and what did we all pick?
Score was 24-10,
mm-hmm.
The Browns. Evan said Commanders 21-10, 25 points off. I said Commanders 26-20, 20 points off. Mitch, 16-13 Commanders, 17 points off. Yes, John, all alone, Browns 17-12, still 9 points off, but a W is a W.
A W is a
W. Nicely done. So we are all one on one.
Skeet, skeet.
And on the quarterback, is Sam Howell out of North Carolina.
How will they do this week? Do you think?
Uh-huh. I'd suggest they'll be beaten by the Cowboys. But
no, I thought they're starting Heineke against us.
No. Fifth round pick out of NC or out of North Carolina. So
I know Heineke's got a pretty low ceiling.
Tar heel.
How do you not start the guy?
Heineke because there's a game that doesn't mean anything. So
but he wants
you may as well see what the guy
the
looks
and
like.
He Air Maxes, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you've he can buy
have a look. You've got to have a look at this guy. They can't do anything.
I agree.
Have a look.
I agree. Have a look. I think Heineke's
you've seen enough out of Heineke. A number of teams have seen enough out of Heineke.
That's right. Well, Wentz is inactive this week.
Have a look and, look.
Have a look. Have a feel. Have a look.
You're overmatched. Right, you're playing a team that have got far more to play for and they're going to beat you anyway.
Yeah, so agreed. Yeah. I'll pass this next review to John. It was the New York Jets at Seattle
Seahawks. What do you expect me to say?
John,
the
what were you doing at
the Jets? It out of neutrality.
Yeah, thank all you. Right.
The Jets just did what they always fucking do in clutch situations.
What were you doing at the time as well for the remind the listeners?
Okay, so just so the listeners know, I was on a bender. No, I was on an 8-hour drive from Byron Bay to Sydney and I decided, fuck it. I found a radio broadcast of the game, so I listened to it. And I started my drive about an hour before the game started, which means when the game ended, and you're about to find out how that went, I still had 4 hours left to fucking think about it. Mitch, take over.
This game was extremely uninteresting as a neutral as a neutral fan of both these teams.
Agreed.
The winning play happened basically immediately. with Kenneth Walker breaking away for a 60-yard rush and the Seahawks scoring a touchdown 2 plays later, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a three-play drive for a minute.
Getting themselves to 7, which would have been enough to win the game, as we'd later find out. Mike White's return was not what many had come to expect, but after he spat his ribs and kidney out in consecutive weeks earlier in December, maybe it was what was expected, completing 23 of 46 for 240, no touchdowns and 2 ugly picks. Probably a better game than Zach Wilson would have had, but failing to jumpstart a Jets offense that desperately needed something and probably didn't need that much to beat the Seahawks. But 23-6, a comfortable win for the Seahawks. Jets eliminated for 2022.
How do we go with our picks?
12th consecutive season. We're not making the 12th playoffs.
Consecutive season.
Longest drought.
Yeah.
Of any longer active than team.
Longer than the Lions.
The Lions made it.
Longer than the Jaguars. Longer than the Jaguars.
Eek. 2017.
Well, they'll be making it this year as well, the Jaguars. But our picks. Ev closest to the pin here, 24-10, the Seahawks. Predicting very close to both scores, only 3 points off.
Spewing.
Matt and I had very similar margins. Matt went the Seahawks 24-20. I went the Seahawks 21-18, 13 and 14 points off, respectively.
Eek.
John, 27-3 for the Jets.
I just flipped it the wrong way.
Yeah, with
basically. Oh shit!
2.6 yards per carry for Kenneth Walker. Actually, had 60.0 on the first carry.
but after that, he only had 3 yards per carry. Yeah, so fuck. Right, if it wasn't for that one play,
control.
Actually, I think it was 61 yards on the first carry.
Do you think at 7-0, Matt, they're probably just controlling the clock there? At 7-0, they're controlling the clock, but.
It was bad.
John and I did speak on the phone and
for about an hour and a half.
Look, just for the listeners, he was very.
Can I imagine? This is fucking bullshit.
No. I was about to say he was a gentleman and a scholar. He is. He congratulated me and Gino.
I did.
He also he wasn't watching the game, but he heard and he was curious to know. So did the Jets just look bad or were there any externalities, obviously referring to Lumen Field? And I think it was the latter. honestly, and probably the fact that Mike White has not had a snap in a number of weeks, right?
He didn't look,
And I asked John the question, would the situation be different had if he hadn't been injured the last few weeks and had more reps with the team?
I asked you that. Yeah, well, I'd say yes without having watched the game because I wasn't going to go back and watch that fucking nightmare and throw up in my mouth again. But, but you know...
You didn't rewatch it.
No, I didn't. Why the fuck would I put myself through that type of pain? The All-22 for what? To see him whiff a pass? Oh, look, I was listening to a quite an unbiased radio broadcast and they were just saying like, wow, all these wide receivers are open and Mike White is missing them. And do you want to know what's telling? And this is, I think, what sucks the most is that Mike White went from fully cleared to play to now limited in practice. Doubtful for, like, not doubtful, questionable for this coming game due to his ribs. So what does that tell you?
He was playing
injured.
Yeah.
I think he was, but I mean, he's a better option than the other two options they have.
Still had to do it. I mean, the doctors cleared him at the end of the day. And he said that after he was in his press conference, he was like, look, the doctors cleared me and I could not wait to get back out on the field and I, you know, needed to find ways to make the plays despite how I feel. Mm-hmm. The doctors cleared me.
It's an interesting thing with the Jets as well. Like, you at the start of the season, you probably would have taken the record they're going to end up with. But
yeah, definitely.
But when you're 7-4,
yeah,
you recalibrate and they've had quarterback issues late in the year that have got worse every week for various reasons. Zach Wilson's ineptitude, Mike White's physical ailments, and you're playing must-win games in low-scoring conditions outside in the weather against teams with stuff to compete for.
Here's the crazy thing. The New York Jets defense, I think, only let up over 19 points in like three games.
They've got a lot of pieces.
Outside of the Jaguars game, and this game that just passed, every single game that we lost was within a score, and every game that we won was above two scores. So we did well, except for the Buffalo game, which we won 2017. So we did. We've had a good season, and at the start of the season, I would have taken exactly what we've seen. At the end of the season, when you drop fucking five in a row and just watch your playoff, and you know, every week you're saying it's all right, you know, like we can. We knew that going into this six game lineup that we just needed to go 500.
Yeah,
and we would have locked up a playoff seat. We would have locked up the seventh. Go 500.
The Lions' loss was the killer, I think. Like that was the death. And that was hard.
That was 3 points. You know, Jaguars. It was just a bad. I mean, when you bring on a guy to replace Zach Wilson halfway through that game, who, by the way, his last starting opportunity was in the CFL. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Trevler, the last time he started was the CFL. That's when you know things are bad. Let's move on from this. Obviously, that puts me at 1-2, at risk of having to shoot again, and you guys at 2-1.
We're 2-1. That's right. And the final game was
that was a Packers.
I love this one, Vikings at Packers.
So we all picked the same. So I just get the shot.
Can we please just take a moment?
Shellacking.
Vikings. So they've blown a few blown leads here. 24-7 against Philadelphia, week 2. 40-3 against Dallas in week 11.
Blowout losses, not blown leads, yeah.
Oh, sorry, blowout losses is what I meant. Sorry.
Massive losses.
34-23 Detroit, week 14, and 41-17. And the 14 of those 17s point were pure garbage time. 41 unanswered points. All sides of the ball, was it? Kick return, pick six, and then a whole bunch of offensive brilliance. Man, this Vikings team are just so bizarre. And I think we've all been saying it each and every week. It's hard to say worse, man, because, I mean, you look at the lineup, fuck, there's some talent there. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Every position, but quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. They all have an easy top, or maybe not quarterback, top five in every position.
But their defense is atrocious. That's the issue. Like, they can score enough. Even, I mean, not the Dallas game, but a couple of the other games, though, okay, you put up 17, you can compete at times. Like, Green Bay have hardly set the house on fire offensively this year. They've obviously got better late, but their defense is awful. Like, it's a bottom five defense. They're arguably the worst.
31st.
To me, they're arguably the worst equipped team for how you have to play in playoffs that are going to be in the playoffs on both sides of the bracket.
Well, if you look at their losses, they've lost to number one seed Philly. Mm-hmm. They lost to Dallas, who's a top three team in NFC. They got blown by the Packers, which normally dominate them. That's probably going to make the playoffs.
Detroit on the rise.
And yeah. Detroit on the rise. But as I said, I'm pretty sure 99% is confirmed that it'll be Vikings and Giants because third versus sixth. I don't think they can get above two seed, can they, the Vikings?
No, they can't.
So it'll be Giants and what a shit playoff game that is. One of them are going to be in the divisional. Yeah, they played.
They played. Like,
I told you it was
the
preview to the wild card game.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Didn't the Giants win?
No,
they should have. They should have.
They 61-yard field goal.
I feel like we say that in every one-score contest of the Vikings. The other team should have won.
I feel like I've said that about every single Jets win.
That's the perception about the Vikings. Like, they were fortunate to win a number of the games they've won, and when they've lost, they've got absolutely boat raced.
So the Giants could beat them, probably host Philly will host them in the divisional.
You really hate Philadelphia.
I can't stand it. They booed Santa. Who likes Philly besides Philly?
Get over it. They booed Santa. You're going to say every single year, well, they booed Santa. They booed Santa. I hope they boo you if they
also
see you.
Booed Mike Irvin when he broke his neck.
He didn't break his neck?
He did in 2000.
How bad?
He broke his neck.
Seven vertebrae.
Yeah, did he really?
No.
Oh, so Evan really knows about his own team.
Just on the sights.
One-star fan.
Just on the sights, though, for the NFL, I hope the fans are keen to see Cincinnati lose home field advantage so that we don't see another incident
where we had
Ryan Shazier's incident at Cincinnati. We had Tua getting knocked out badly at Cincy earlier in the year. We had, obviously, the DeMar Hamlin incident on Monday at Cincy.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
It was another
Antonio
one.
Antonio Brown got knocked out. Yeah.
And anytime Vontaze perfect on the field, he was a psycho.
It's a place that's got some ghosts.
Ghosts of Paul Brown. Ghosts of relocation pass.
Back to my point because I like being right. Irvin's final ever play. He was forced to retire after having a herniated disc in his C6 and C7.
Okay, so did he break his neck?
He didn't break his spine.
It's a herniated. It's not a break.
Still, they fucking booed him. Pricks.
But yeah, the Philly Crowder, they're hostile in every sport, and I don't mind if you dislike them being a Dallas fan. But
no, you can't. They don't like us either. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's fandom. Short for fanatic.
Well, Vikings played like a herniated disc. They'd lost 41-17. We all picked the Packers, not quite by the margin we expected. We were all within three, and it was a lot more than three. It was something in the order of 24.
Mason Crosby, not required.
Not required.
I think that's why I said it.
He won't be Crosby in a clutch situation.
And just for the record, what did we all pick? Who picked who for the Cincinnati Buffalo game?
We all went the Bengals with the exception
except
of Evan.
Evan.
We can finish it with a Madden simulation at 7-3. Is that fair?
No.
That'd be nice because I really didn't want to have to do it.
We'll run with the sample of four.
Wrap-ups.
And we have Mitch, Evan, and I on three, John on two. This week.
So I've got to take a shot, and Evan's got to take a shot for last week, which technically
you've got to do two shots.
I'm not going to do two shots. Well, I want to drive home and not.
Well, that's unfair. If we're both going to do a shot.
No,
you've got to
do
this
a shot. I'll do it again next week.
You'll double down. Okay, fine.
I'll double down next week, but you got to take a shot with me from last week anyway. That doesn't count.
Know,
you just took
still
a shot of what was left in your bottle. Why didn't you just leave it?
Because I don't want to mix.
Oh. Yuck.
He loves the sound. Loves the sound.
If I ever run out of fuel,
you know you've got it here.
Fuck, am I going to drive home?
It's not that bad, man. It's not that bad.
It is.
We are running low.
Confirmed as bad.
And FYI, plenty more where that came from. Plenty.
It's my first shot as well of this.
It is too. You haven't yet to... Oh, Evan.
Have you had no All shots? Eyes, I'm winning. You've had no shots.
Can I get the scoreboard before I shoot this?
Mm-mm. Yeah. Give him a scoreboard.
The season totals
we're
after?
Yeah.
Top to bottom. Mitch outright first, 41 points. Evan second, 40 points. I'm on 36. John, 33.
Yeah. You've
slipped another game.
I have slipped.
What's the point difference between me and...
It doesn't matter.
There's
no prize for first.
It's
a fair question, I guess.
We've slipped. Yeah,
you could look at the
Google sheet.
You had a
bad week on the differential, I'm afraid.
Every week.
There's now a 21-point gap on the differential front between you and Mitch. Doing well.
All right. Well,
Did you already do your thing? I was going to say.
Let's go. Ching. Come on, Ev. Keep those shorts on.
We've got Evan walking around the studio here.
We do. It's heavy, but come on, sit down. Tell the listeners how you feel.
It's 164 proof.
It's actually all right. It's actually all right.
It's the aftertaste.
What about the aftertaste?
It's just so hot in your esophagus, eh?
Hey? Yeah, like, right in there.
It feels like someone's punching you in the throat with a non-flaccid penis.
With a drill dough.
With the drill day, yeah.
So what are we predicting this week? A big week 18.
Well, yeah. So let's move into our game reviews. Previews. How many, Matt, games are we actually? This is interesting because are we doing all of them?
No.
Oh, I thought you were asking how many matches are there, which is a weird question. There are 16 matches.
Why would you think? No, how many are we previewing?
Well, there's only 15 last week.
Well.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't have any
bye week.
We didn't get any off-air consensus. We John put a position forward. Perhaps
I think
you
there's
could
six
speak,
games. We
speak
do.
To this, John, as to why we should be picking all
because it's
16
funny.
Games. Because it's funny.
I thought we were going to do a multi on it,
and we'll do a multi.
Yeah, let's do all 16.
Done. All right, fuck it. And we've got to put a multi on the spot right now for our 16.
But just quick scores. I think like. In the interest
yeah,
of
let's just go. Yep. Let's just go through it. So everyone, open Sportsbet or your betting tool of choice.
No, we're just going to pick 16 games,
and we'll do the picks up. We'll
so you're not going to do a multi?
We'll do the multi.
We'll do the multi with the consent. So wherever we've got three or more of us going for the same team, we'll just
Okay. So we're going
to
put a collective multi on.
Yeah.
By the way, gamble responsibly.
And we're all going to put $50 in.
Yeah.
And we're going to so it's going to be 200. And the
and we're going to put on Evan's account so he has to pay for it.
And the proceeds are going to go to DeMar Hamlin's charity.
Talking about
if we win, talking
about betting, there's been a big shift in the offensive rookie of the year, and Walker's been slashed to be the favorite over Gary Wilson. $1.70 to $3.30.
He's going to tear his ACL this week.
That's terrible. That's horrible. All right, let's go. Rapid fire, guys.
Poor old Garrett without
really, really, really rapid. Let's go. Chiefs, Raiders.
Chiefs.
Wait, hold on.
No. Yes, no, he said Raiders. Chiefs. No, that's it. No, it's shoot.
Chiefs,
it's as soon Chiefs, as you say
30
it.
To 10.
No, it's as soon as you say it. Hang on.
Hang on a second. Let's just go head-to-head, no margins.
Yeah, don't worry about margins. No, he said Raiders. No.
Chiefs.
You
can have Chiefs.
No.
Do you remember when we're going ladder order? Mitch, please.
Yeah, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
You changed it.
me, Chiefs.
Chiefs. Who else am I going to pick? Raiders? Like
Titans,
Evan?
Titans, Jags.
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 Fuck.
This is giving John a chance to make up, but he's got, and he gets the opportunity to hear what everyone else picks. So.
All right, well, this might be his opportunity to hear Bucks, Falcons.
Tampa.
Bucks. Wow, Tampa's $1.40. Shit.
Atlanta are $1.40.
Yeah. I'm going Atlanta.
I don't know if Brady plays. Bucks. That's why I assume.
You were going to go Atlanta, weren't you, John?
Yes. I have to find some point of difference. If I can pick the same as you.
Sure. Yeah. Patriots at Bills.
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 Patriots.
Yes, Johnny boy.
There we go.
I don't know if they can score enough, to be fair.
Love but. A contrarian. Vikings at Bears.
Vikings. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Fucking hell.
Evan,
it's
wait
simple,
your turn.
It's a simple fucking concept, mate.
Yeah.
Just as like, bad as the Vikings are, Vikings. Bears should be trying to lose.
Evan?
Vikings.
Vikings.
Bears have the second pick at the moment.
You're third.
I said Vikings.
Oh, okay. Bears.
Oh, dear. It's an interesting one to go with the Bears. Shit.
He's got to throw some punches.
He's got to throw some Hail Marys.
He's going
to
get four over
that. Okay, Ravens, Bengals.
This is actually really, really difficult.
Yeah. Is him enough Jackson's playing?
No, he's not.
Bengals.
And Tyler Huntley might not be playing too.
Bengals.
Yeah. Is it the Bengals, Evan?
Is Jackson going to play in week one of the playoffs?
Probably
they
not.
May as well rest him.
Texans.
For week one of the playoffs.
Sorry. Yeah, why not?
Texans at Colts. Do they jeopardize?
Oh, wow. This is a
do they jeopardize?
Game.
All right. We'll give this. Okay. They hold. If they win. And Bears
lose.
They lose the number one overall pick. So don't want to sway opinions here, but just want to throw it out there, Mitch.
Interim coach will never get another head coaching job. Wants to finish with a bang, Colts.
Yep. Jeff right. Saturday gets it done on his last Monday.
Sunday.
His last Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going with the Colts.
Texans.
What the fuck?
Absolutely. It's a game to throw it out there.
Jets at Dolphins.
Wow.
The tale of no quarterbacks.
Truly.
So there's no Tua and there's no Bridgewater. And there may not be any Mike White.
Miami.
We could see Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Miami's way here is probably just hurl the ball downfield to those two wideouts, but the Jets have got really good safety. So, I don't know. This will be one of the lowest scoring games of the whole season.
3-6.
Miami.
Jets.
Yeah. Panthers at Saints.
I like how Carolina been going. I'm going Carolina here.
Saints.
Also Saints.
Panthers.
Browns at Steelers.
Ooh. Ones, man, I'm liking the Steelers.
This is hard.
Liking them.
Browns.
Ooh, Steelers.
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 Steelers play playoff football if that's the case.
I know.
If you're,
I pick
New England.
The Patriots.
Need New England to lose and Jets to win against Dolphins.
Oh, they're in.
Yeah, and them to win and they're in.
What a turn.
He has to get coach of the year. Mike, if they get 9-8, he has to get it.
Yeah, well, I'm just rooting for the fact that he's not ever had a losing season. So that's why I'm pulling for that.
Chargers at Broncos.
Oh, I think this is an obvious one.
Easy. Oh, yeah. Not really.
No, it's not easy.
Before you add $1.60 Denver, $2.30
Yeah,
Chargers.
I assume the Chargers aren't starting their key starters here. And with that in mind, I'll pick Denver.
Denver.
Oh, Chargers.
Could you imagine if John jumps the top in the leaderboard?
Well, he's so far. Yeah, you need to get them all.
Yeah, well, you know, if I do.
Giants at Eagles.
Eagles.
Evan?
Wait, Evan. Is Jalen Hurts back?
Possibly.
I don't think they'll play him.
Eagles.
They're good enough to beat the Giants with
it. You left us in suspense for a bit there.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Eagles.
Saquon, 2 for 200. Let's go Giants, baby.
Giants, 750 on our sports bet.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Yep.
750?
Sorry, $7.
Bullshit. Are they really resting everyone?
Saquon has to sit here, surely.
Okay, I'm still going to go the Giants.
Sure.
Oh, I don't mind.
I've already dug the grave.
Jones is durable.
16 games, John. This could be your chance. Yeah. Think of all the multis you've put on where you've got 15 out of 16. This could be your multi right here, John.
You know what? I'm still going to go the boys in blue.
Arak has gone to his head. Cardinals at 49ers.
Well, this one's easier.
49ers.
Caniners. Rams at Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Lumenfield, Seahawks.
Is it at Lumen? Is it at Centrelink?
It is at Centrelink. And yes, I am going to Seahawks.
Then I'm going the Rams.
Yeah, I think McVay can cook something up.
Mm.
Cowboys at Commanders.
Dallas by
150.
By lots. 30,
probably nearly 30, I reckon.
Dallas by 3.
3.
Dallas by 11.
Oh, I'd go 13 plus on this game. That's Dallas.
Panels, yeah.
Dallas by a hosing and half.
The big last one.
When Dallas get on top, they're as good as most teams.
Mm.
Main event of the evening, Lions at Packers. It could be a win and in what is a win in scenario for Packers. Possibly the Lions should the Seahawks lose. Who have you got, Mitch?
Packers, way too much experience.
We're going to see Aaron Rodgers against San Fran, week 1, 2-7.
Packers it is, for me as well.
I hate to say it once again, but it has been written. Packers. And that makes it the Packers. How many different am I to the rest of you guys? Like to you,
okay, Matt, specifically. Wait, how many are you behind Matt?
3. How many have I got different than Matt?
I think you got like 8.
3
from me.
He's 3 behind me. I've well and truly got him on the differential, so you'll need 4 greater.
And how many extra do I have than you?
Well,
there's a lot of playoff games to go.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there are playoff games too, John.
Yeah, but I still want to get ahead.
You're not dead and buried. But, all right, let's count it. So you've got Patriots, which is different to the rest of us. Bears, 2.
I just want a different to you. 15
Texans, 3. Yeah, this is different to me. Jets, 4.
This is riveting, Panthers
5, which is different to me. I've gone Saints, Chargers 6, Giants 7, Rams 8. You got 8 different to
okay,
me.
Then fuck it. I'm going Lions, 9. Matt Stafford's number, baby.
Lions.
Lucky number 9, Bryce Petty.
All right. We're done with our preview.
We are done with our previews. This is going to be interesting.
My multi's paying 388
to 1. Can you stop?
One.
This is not called Evan's multi.
It's the multi we just did.
Oh, right. Oh, did you just do that?
Jumped out his throat.
How much is it?
388.
388 to 1. I got to work out how much my multi is going to be.
$7,000.
No, we're going to have a $200 multi that each of us put 50 in for to replace Mitch's multi this week. It'll be the team multi. We're going to do it, and we're all going to pick 2 legs each, so 8 total games.
Okay,
and cool. They obviously have to be different. Like, we can't just go Dallas.
All right. So, let's go to sports bet. I like this. And yeah, this is good. For DeMar, right? This is for DeMar's foundation. Knowing how Mitch's multi has been, thank you, DeMar. We're going to be donating a grand total sum of $0.
Will we save the best to last?
No. We'll
we'll put the 50 in afterwards if we lose it.
We're either
spending $100 or we're putting in a hell of a lot more.
We're going to put 50 in each on the multi, and then we're going to give the proceeds of the multi to the foundation.
Sounds good.
And if the multi loses, we'll do another 50 each to the foundation.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. All right, so let's go find these games. So we've got to pick 2 each. Do we want to just keep the same order?
Mitch, you go first, then me.
It is Mitch's multi.
Cool. So I'm going to look for some fairly safe options here, and I'm going to go for Dallas and Green Bay.
Dallas and Green Bay.
Yeah.
Dallas and Green Bay.
I don't want to lose for the foundation. Shit. I don't want to be the reason we lose.
Oh shit, Nate, with the pressure on.
I'm going to go even safe. I'm going to go Eagles. And I'm going to go...
Do whatever, Niners.
Dolphins.
Eagles and that's Dolphins. Yeah.
Matt?
I'm going to go a barbell approach here. We'll go the safe Eagles.
No, you can't. We've already done the Eagles.
What?
We're doing 8 different games.
Oh, have you already gone the Eagles?
Did you not just fucking listen?
I was very stressed out about 12 what I was
games
pick.
Left.
Has anyone said 49ers yet?
No.
All right, so I'm going the Niners as my ultra-conservative bet. I'm going Raiders to cover the 9.5.
Did you guys each pick 2?
Yeah.
All right. Has anyone picked Jacksonville head-to-head?
No.
So you have Raiders plus 9.5?
Yeah, to cover the 9.5 spread.
Easy.
All right. I'm going to go Jacksonville at the head-to-head.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make this more interesting. Are you ready?
Jets 13+.
Oh, that would be nice.
Jets to score more than 3.5 points in the first quarter.
I'm going to go Travis Kelce anytime touchdown scorer.
You can't do. You won't be able to do the multi.
Fuck. Yeah. All right. Well, in that case. I'm gonna go. Has anyone gone? Cincy to beat Baltimore?
I don't think so.
No, but I don't think some bookies don't have markets up for the Buffalo, New England, and Cincy Baltimore games. Have you got them up?
I've got them up on. It's up on Sportsbet. Yeah. So Cincy to win. Head to head.
127. Cool. That adds up to 14-1. We're chucking a 200 on it.
Yeah, so 2,800 if it goes there. There's my 50 chucking on
Evan. Yeah, Evan, I'll transfer you 50. Evan is the...
Roll on.
Yeah.
Play blessed.
Yep, it's happening. Yep. And with the sign of the cross...
I have a bit in there, balance.
Just look at it. Let's have a little review.
Oh, what's your balance?
So we've got... Did you put it in?
Yeah,
you already put it on. Yeah, so Green Bay, Philly, Miami, Frisco, Jacksonville, Cincy, Vegas, plus 9.5. Oh, and Dallas at the top. Beautiful. There we go. 14-24. So $2,848 to the foundation. Shall it rise? That replaces Mitch's multi for the week.
How did we go, though?
Last week we had a win. We had the Lions head-to-head, the Jags head-to-head, and the Chiefs head-to-head, which... Matt's cottoned onto this. Kansas City win but don't cover every single week. The Jags and the Lions absolutely blew the doors off their opponents. So easy watch in the first two games. But, yeah, Kansas City Hopefully that doesn't continue in the playoffs where they just play with their food the whole game. It happens every week.
Nicely done. What do we got next, John?
Well, now we're going to finish our fantasy SKs and SKs.
It was the fantasy Super Bowl.
Now, we know there's no point in going back over this too often, but the many Super Bowls out there are going to be affected regardless of your player choice, because it's very likely that you were playing players from the Bills or Cincinnati or a combination of both. So if you were in that category, yeah, you know, what can we say? There's nothing that we could have done to give you tips to help you out with that. So instead, let's just review what we did say, because there were some good ones and there were some funny ones, perhaps.
There were some bad ones. So we'll start with our fantasy winner of the year, Mitch. Congratulations once again. He said Nick Folk for his good SK, projected to get 6.4. He only got a 5.
Yeah, I said he'd get at least 12 as well. He missed the PAT. Yeah, ugly from Nick. He struggled late in the year.
Matt with the best good SK with Darren Waller, projected to get 11, got 16.2.
On your dazzer.
John, his second favourite QB in Gardner Minshew, projected to get 14.8, got 12.9. So that's under. And the worst SK of the week goes to myself with Green Bay scoring. What did they score? 41 points? 38 points?
Yep.
Their number one receiver, Christian Watson. I thought, 41 should have a few reception touchdowns. Projected to get 12. He only got 2 points.
You're kidding. A 41-point rob, they had some points.
They had a long rush, interception, wasn't it?
Kick return.
Sorry.
On to our bad SKs. Mitch takes the award out. Tyler Higbee, even though I was disagreeing with him the previous week. 10 points. Projected, got 4.
Nicely done
to bring us home.
Love you, Baker.
Matt predicted to get Cam Akers, projected to get 12. He got 14, so just a bit above expected.
Do you know what?
Got to run that rock when you're 31-3 down.
What would Matt be projected to score in fantasy if he was a football player?
6.4.
More than you, John. I'm not sure. Could you make it onto the field?
After this, we can discuss positions.
Place punter.
6.4. 6.4.
John, your favorite running back from last week, Kenneth, 2.6 carry Walker, projected to get 13.3. He got 15, but he would have definitely got that in the first, three plays?
Are you going to contest the 2.6 or
32 seconds?
Defend it, sorry?
No. Look, seriously, if you take away that 60-yard run, which was fucking bad defense by the Jets, I mean, that play I did see, because I had to see what the fuck went on. It was just a gaping hole, a couple missed tackles. What are you going to do? Take that away, it's 3 yards per carry. So, you know, and no TDs. Not one.
No.
Thank you.
No tardies, baby.
One good run, not much else.
I'm to finish with my wide receiver one and probably the best SK of the year if we have our awards soon.
CD Lamb.
The compact disc.
He had a
slotted in this game. Listen to it like it's 98.
He had a brilliant game. The only thing that was missing was a touchdown to his name. Projected to get 16.7, got 21.
He has been a Mitch's multi stalwart all year at WR1. Love you, CD.
So obviously we can't preview as Super Bowl's over, but what position, it's not a garbage question, but what position would you all play in fantasy if you could?
In fantasy?
Yeah. Or whatever, what position would you play?
Jenna Jameson. No.
Oh, my goodness. NFL position.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was just you know.
We're on a team.
We're on a team. Well, I would coach.
Is Waterboy a position?
I would coach.
I'm going place kicker. I was in rugby league. I did a bit of goal kicking. Fairly ordinary player, but I was a decent kicker. So I'd say I could go okay on the place kick.
You know, when I played rugby league when I was like 13 or 14, the kicker got injured and I went in and actually kicked a field goal.
Did you bring up the sand back in the day?
I kicked a conversion. Yeah. And you know what it was? It was when you had to sit right in front, and I'll never fucking forget it because, like, you know, it was not to win the game. We were, like, hosing this other team, but I'll never forget kicking the ball, watching it rest on the fucking crossbar, and then just tip over.
This is at St. Chrissy's.
The crowd went wild. My dad went apeshit because I just did not, you know.
Margins.
For anyone who ever watched The Sopranos, I don't really have a sporting bone in my body. I got plenty of other bones.
I see John as a pocket, a passer, QB. I see Matt as a slot wide receiver. I see myself as a running
back. Slot wide receiver?
He's too wide for a slot wide receiver. I see him as like a
stuck on a little muscle, maybe
running back.
Running back.
Yeah.
A bit tall.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a bit of slot.
Saquon's 6 foot. Saquon's 6 foot. Saquon's 6 foot.
My immediate thought was linebacker too, by the way.
Yeah, linebacker. Yeah.
Evan?
I'll be probably a slot. I'm
you're a slot. 10, yeah,
fantasy coach.
If I lost 20 kilos, I'd be a slot.
With Jenna Jamison.
Yes, well, you know, good old Jenna. She's missing eyebrows nowadays. Anyway, on that note, seeing as we're getting a little bit garbagey and we're coming to the end of a marathon.
I do love the long episodes.
I don't know how long this episode has been.
It's only 1 hour 40-ish, I reckon, at the moment.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Matt would have timed it. That's why he's predicting all these to a minute. He times it off his watch. I saw him at the start of the episode.
Have you been timing it?
I'll show you all my apps that are open.
I'm sure the listeners don't give a flying fuck about our competition via PM chat to pick the length of the episode 2 minutes after
Matt,
we finish
Matt,
it.
Matt knows. Matt seems to get it right every week. Well, Evan, I'll tell you what. It is time for the smelliest of all garbage. Go for it, buddy boy.
Stink me up.
For our loyal listeners, the first garbage time question I had was a trivia question. And I'm going to end the sort of regular scenes with it. So, boys.
Woo!
With the Jags about to make the playoffs, potentially, they were the number one pick last year. Who else was the last number one pick to make the playoffs in NFL history?
Like as in to like go from
the prior season.
Who to go from first?
Okay. Miami.
To playoff?
They were one, but they haven't been the recent.
They weren't the last, but they did one.
Wow, in 2008, okay. They picked Jake Long.
That's right. I remember
that.
There's
been two since.
Raiders.
No.
So first overall.
First overall, and then made the playoffs the following year.
It wasn't Cincy because they had the year that he got hurt in between, wasn't it?
Is it Cleveland?
Was going to go.
No, definitely not.
So we're just talking, so they've gone from number one.
Number one, they picked number pick one to and then made the playoffs.
Wait, so picked number one and didn't.
So apparently, so I said Miami because I do remember that 2007 season, they were first overall, like they were last.
And they won the East.
Then they won the East in 2008. But apparently, there's been two since.
Were we talking about this earlier in the episode? Was it Andrew Luck, Indy?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
2012, it would have been.
They lost to the Ravens.
No, hang on a second.
Yep.
Nope, you're wrong.
They were.
You're wrong.
Look it up, because I did my fact-checking.
You are wrong.
I reckon he's right.
Because Peyton Manning, that was the Peyton Manning year.
Yeah, when they sat in with the, neck.
So there's another one, Evan, while he's fact-checking
more.
That.
There's one more the year after that.
So what year was that?
That was 2012.
2012.
Yeah. And the last one was 2013.
Mine was a
messing with the headphones.
Technical difficulties.
Lost the headphones there, guys. So mine was a correct answer, but not the answer to the question.
It was the following year. So the recent was 2013. Who picked number one, 2013? It was a tackle. Here's another hint.
No way. They
Houston,
fucking did.
Houston, Jadeveon Clowney?
Year before that.
Because they had Watson just after that, hey? And then they made it every year that he was there, I think.
I'll give it to you.
Except the last one.
It was Andy Reid's first year at the Chiefs.
Oh, Eric Fisher tackled. Wow. Alex Smith at QB.
And it's funny, the last five that have done it, so 0-4 Chargers with Rivers.
Yeah.
Giants, but with Rivers, same.
Yeah.
They've all lost the wild card. They haven't gone past. So the Jags probably lose the wild card to who's second to the moment, the Bills.
The Jags are the four seed.
The Ravens.
The fifth. Or Cincy.
The Chargers will be the fifth seed.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they got to win, though. The Chargers got to win and Baltimore has to lose.
That's possible.
The Chargers, didn't we just say the Chargers are resting everyone?
Did the Chargers not have the tiebreaker over Baltimore?
No. The Chargers have to win and Baltimore has to lose.
Okay,
so it's still for them to take the fifth. Yeah, but you guys all just went against the Chargers.
No. The Jags will win against the Ravens but lose against the Chargers if they play in the playoffs. And they will lose to the Bengals.
There's been eight in history, so the Jags could be the ninth to go number one to the playoffs the following year.
And interesting, who did they select that won? That was the tackle last year, wasn't it?
Who?
The Jags last year.
The Jags, wasn't a defensive end who they
had? The end, yeah. Yeah, because they had Lawrence. They've actually had two years in a row, back to back. When's the last time a team had number one pick 2 years in a row?
Browns, maybe it would have been.
Oh, they were.
The 1-15 and 0-16.
Oh, yeah. When they picked Baker the second year. Who did they pick the first year?
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett, yeah.
Well, what a waste of talent that is. Like, he's great talent, but imagine he was on like a Jets that's like a mediocre team, but still can shine. He doesn't even hear me, did he?
How are you going with fact checking, John?
He was right. I was just
that's when they got rid of Peyton Manning.
Yeah. No, he was right. I was just looking up to see if there was any updates on the news that we've been talking about in terms of like playoff seeding and stuff like that. Before we go, there wasn't. But then I stumbled across this, and it was someone went into ChatGPT and said, "Please write a nuanced philosophical essay on why Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFL." do you want to hear what ChatGPT
said? Let's go. Okay. In Shakespeare wording.
It's not, but I probably could ask it. The debate over who is the best quarterback in the NFL is often a heated one. While the answer is subjective and ultimately up to the observer, sorry, I just clicked something. I lost it. Many people have come to the conclusion that the title belongs to Zach Wilson. Wilson's impressive 2020 season, in which he threw for over 3,500 yards and 33 touchdowns, that was a college season, has certainly made him a strong candidate. However, there is much more to Wilson's success than simply his impressive stats. When discussing Wilson's greatness, one must consider the intangibles. He has a quiet confidence and leadership, well, that was proven, that are highly valued in a quarterback. He's unshakably composed in the pocket, except against New England and almost every other team, and does not let nerves or pressure affect his play. He's also a master of reading defenses, often making audibles at the line of scrimmage to adjust the defense's alignment. This ability to anticipate what's coming and adjust is a rare trait that Wilson has in spades. I don't know where it got this information from. Wilson is also a great teammate and a leader. I think the locker room hates him, which is often overlooked, but an important part of being a successful QB. He takes the time to get to know his teammates, and works hard to make sure that everyone is on the same page. He's also a great communicator, clearly evidenced when he said that the defense, he didn't owe it to the defense to do a little bit better. Always providing guidance, encouragement. I don't think so. Thus, there is no doubt that Zach Wilson is one of the game's best quarterbacks.
It's probably just what the verbatim of what Joe Burrow probably is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Glad we ended garbage time on that piece of garbage. Yeah.
John. Well, will he ever get another snap in the NFL?
Probably, yeah, who knows? Maybe in week 18 next year. Or week 19. Who knows about it next week next year? Well, actually, I was going to add, like, John's prediction was 3 or 4 weeks ago where you said the NFL could potentially want to add an 8th seed in. Who knows if this is the trial? They'll change the playoffs 2 times in 3 years.
They're not going to trial it, but I don't think they'll trial that. Put it in. It will happen. It will happen.
But I think, if anything, what's going to happen first is we'll go to an 18-game season. Mm. The NFL has definitely wanted that. The 17 game was always a stepping stone towards 18 games. And we'll see what happens from there.
Or they can push it back to only 2 preseason games instead of 3.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah, I think
it's going more to the NBA, because NBA has, half the teams making the playoffs, aren't they? 8 out of 16 for the conference. Yeah.
8 out of 15, yeah.
For 15,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the NFL will eventually have no preseason.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. There'll be a 1-game warm-up. For
Hall
the
of Fame, they always have the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think the interesting thing is we saw in the pandemic year there was no season. It maybe affected the quality of offense early, but the quality of offense early this year was awful outside of a couple of teams anyway. And we're still going to have the best teams make it to the end. Fans are still going to watch in droves. No one really gives a fuck, I don't think. So, I don't think the quality of quarterback decision making early in the first month of the season is a huge mm-hmm. priority in whether they make it 18 or 17.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe to round up the episode towards the end, what's our predictions for tomorrow out of this meeting? What do we all reckon is going to happen? Or
They go with what they've got for me.
Probably. But all it's going to take is 9 NFL teams, perhaps the 9 that are, vying for an 8th seed to knock this back for the competition committee to have to come up with another idea or angle. So,
Do we have time to say which team could or potentially...
Nah, let's not get into it, because it's pure speculation based on absolutely codswallop. Like, we have no... There's no bearing to this conversation.
I think the NFL
have starved
them of
theory.
Time as well. I mean, look how close we had to week 18, like, to have a viable...
They probably did that on purpose. Yeah, I think that was strategic. It was just so that the owners didn't have a chance to deliberate on their own.
Fuck it, I'm going to say they do include an 8th seed. I'm going to be controversial.
You want to be controversial?
Why not?
Interesting.
No chance.
Hey, if it gets Danny Campbell in the playoffs.
Coach of
the
year.
That would be cool.
Actually, talking about Coach of the Year, Sirianni dropped to 3rd favourite now after Hurts.
Well, talk about Coach of the Year. Tomlin's not even on the list when I looked at Sportsbet. Go, try and find him. But fucking Mike McCarthy is.
Yeah, 150 to 1, baby.
So what, he's taken a team from, what, a 12-win team to a 12-win team?
13. after the Washington game.
And if they lose?
With the exact same side that are a series of, like, fairly high-end draft picks on the offensive side.
So, coach of the year, Shanahan's favorite, 250. Brian Daboll, 350. Yeah, he's done a remarkable $4. Job. And then Doug Peterson at 12.
Daboll's done a remarkable job. Yeah, Shanahan's done a great job, but he's done a great job with a great squad, albeit with three different quarterbacks. Mm. Well, kind of two. Trey Lance didn't really play.
But it's weird. They give it the award. I think they award it at the end of next week. They don't say if the Giants make the conference.
Yeah, it's a regular season award.
Hmm.
It's a regular season award. That's when they vote, but they don't announce it. They don't announce it until last week.
Imagine the Steelers make the playoffs and actually make a deep run.
He's never had a negative. He's never had a losing season. Who would have thought? Who would have predicted this 4 weeks ago in the what?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. 5-8 they were.
Team 6-7 in the AFC bracket are getting immediately eliminated. And if they have a seed 8, they'll be eliminated too.
Lions will beat Philly if there's an 8th seed.
I don't want to get too deep into, the playoff preview, but I'd suspect that three of the last four AFC teams are KC, Cincy, and Buffalo.
Like we said, it will be interesting what they say tomorrow, especially when they do meet in the divisional. Who hosts?
There's some exciting narratives in the playoffs, though. We're going to find out how fucking good Justin Herbert actually is, because he's got a real chance to go through a huge gauntlet. And in my opinion, if the Chargers get through the AFC side, they'll be the favorite in the Super Bowl as well. Let alone the other three.
They're getting healthy at a good time.
It's a good call.
Finally getting healthy.
Mahomes $1.04 for MVP. I think it's confirmed.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting the question about value that you were raising last week. Like, Philadelphia 0-2 without Hurts, and they've just lost to the Saints.
True.
They're 13-1 with
true.
Him.
Mm.
So.
I think Mahomes,
Mahomes. Like, he's going to get LeBron James treatment. He's going to finish top three in this award for 15 years in a row.
It's just like natural to him. It's like it's not a big season. It's just what we should expect from Mahomes. He's underarm.
One of the side narratives to the game being cancelled declared a no contest is that it's potentially cost Josh Allen or Joe Burrow a chance of winning the MVP. Like, if one of them had hosed the other and then got through, say Buffalo won that game easily and then they got the one seed and he'd beaten Mahomes and Burrow in the same year. Mahomes is going to get it. Like, he's going to get the most yards, the most passing touchdowns. He is the best player in the NFL. But.
Yeah, for sure.
An interesting, comeback player of the year. McCaffrey and Geno Smith are both favourites at 250.
Where's Derrick Henry on the list?
Exactly. It was at the start of the year. Yeah.
Thank you. I fucking said it.
Yeah. Saquon at $4 and Jared Goff, $12.
Yeah, he's done a good job. He might play playoff football.
For sure.
A team that were on Hard Knocks. When's the last team to make the playoffs on Hard Knocks?
McCaffrey, get injured last year, McCaffrey?
Yeah, at Carolina. Neck.
He did. Now, before we go, I just want to this is something that happened in the NFL a year ago, and I just want to play this clip. And I think it's a good way to finish off this episode.
Is Salah still taking those receipts?
Probably. See if anyone that wasn't even a year ago. That was this year, you dumb fuck. This is this year, this time last season. Does anybody remember this moment? Let's see who can pick it first. Are we ready?
Yep.
Antonio
Oh, yes, Brown.
Antonio Brown with
Jets and our Bucks.
Without his jersey
to this team.
Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace out sign. I'll let you know when we hear something official on his status.
That was this time last year. And
that was against the Jets.
And Metlof. Jets were up 24-10.
Yeah, but it was 1 week before Antonio Brown was about to play another playoff game.
Yeah.
For the team that had won the previous year's Super Bowl.
Exactly.
He's too busy on Photoshop nowadays.
Strange
with Giselle.
Strange.
I don't know, guys noticed on Twitter, he photoshops Giselle on this woman and always pretends like he's sleeping with her.
Oh, my God.
Definitely not.
Really?
Seriously?
Definitely not
what
Giselle.
What a fucking A-grade tool.
It's a fuckwit.
I can't believe that he actually does that. Apparently, Giselle's dating some like high-ranking BJJ. Gracie instructor fighter. I think that he would knock the fuck out of Antonio Brown, choke the fuck out of
Antonio Brown. But, they should have asked Brady about his thoughts on both of them last week, and it would have been just concentrating on playing well against Carolina.
Yeah, and throwing the deep ball into this new lady that I'm working with.
The 58-yard one was nearly a Hail Mary, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, it was just throw it down, close your eyes, throw it down the field, and Mike That's Evans.
Perfect.
Yeah, just
target Mike down there somewhere.
Mike Evans, yeah. But yeah, 58 points on my fantasy bench, even though I didn't make the Super Bowl.
Did Mike Evans score 58 points?
No, sorry, 48.
48.7.
48. Wow, what a game. All right. Well, on that note, this good has been be a back. Long one.
Nice it 2023
is,
start.
It is good to be back. Well, you know, we didn't start with the world's nicest topic because we had to address what happened in the NFL. So glad that obviously Damar is on the mend. As we said earlier, if you've got $1, $5, $10, it doesn't sound like a lot, go donate to this cause. It's not for him. He's not taking the profit. He's giving it away to kids who need toys. It's Christmas. It's the new year. Do something nice. And you know what? This should be a reminder to all of us that there are people out there all the time trying to raise money for good funds. And if we can put money into that instead of things like, I don't know, gambling and alcohol, maybe that's a good way to do it. Except for Mitch's Multi, which you should listen to with intent, but always gamble responsibly. So don't forget, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us some nice words. And I think I'm waiting for Matt and Evan to do what they do at the end of every episode, which is...
Peace. Peace. Dun, 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 dun.